What do you think people remember about me?
You're such a unique person. It's hard to forget you, I would say. Oh. I tried to look up a game because all of our other games are like, how do you like to be railed in the ass?
What's something about your sex life that you don't want your parents to know? It's like everything. What do you mean?
I spread misinformation like wildfires. First and foremost is that Shania Twain lived in my brother's house.
And that the Love Island host was Adriana Lima.
Someone asked me and my brother, they were like, what are your guys' podcasts about? My brother said, spreading misinformation.
That is so funny.
We're summer weaning and you don't know where we're going yet, but we're going somewhere fun.
Maybe if you tune in again, we'll tell you where we're going.
Maybe if you're coming later in the month, you'll see where we are.
Threat. I'm going to try to sound like what a Gen Zer sounds like to our parents.
Oh?
Hey, you chopped unks. Get prepared to get cooked because we are going to aura farm so much lore on you.
We're about to chirp.
Oh,
we're about to chirp at all the fine shite. Hey, fine shite. So glad you're here with us.
Hey, fine shite. You told me about that one. You know,
Kate,
what's funny is you get them from your 19-year-old sister, and then I have to get them secondhand, watered down from you. Yep. And you keep me young and hip.
It's
Thank
a circle
you.
Of life.
Shout out to Kate Berry, our favorite 19-year-old.
Shout out to Kate Berry. If you guys want any Instagram inspiration, go on and check her out. Every day I log on to Instagram.com just to see what she's doing.
Oh,
because she is so cool.
I've never been such a big fan of somebody that I know.
God, right?
Like, she's so effortlessly cool. And it's not for anybody. It's for her.
Her.
Which is so funny.
She's that girl.
And I'm starting to feel really bad because I thought it would be a really fun idea to film outside, which we were going to first do at night. So it was like campfire vibe.
Yep.
Then we thought about it and thought, well, we might as well get a head start while the sunlight is shining upon us.
Right.
I didn't realize or even think about the fact that my friend hates the sun and the heat, and we're doing
both. Okay.
Is it?
As soon as you moved the umbrella so that sucker, me and the sun beef on a regular basis.
I know.
It's a running thing for me, but she's behind the umbrella. I can't even see her, so out of sight, out of mind.
I love watching your vlogs because I get to see you in the wild, and I got to see you in London talking about how much you hate the sun, and I was like, oh, my friend's my friend wherever she is.
If you ever think I'm anything else other than myself online, I'm chronically myself on the internet.
The most you thing ever was you started off and you were like, I hate when people complain about the sun. And then you could continue to complain about the sun. And I was like, that is literally both of us. We're not going to talk about it. But
I was like, I try not to be one of those people that complains about the heat because we get it. It's hot outside. But, and then I went off for 15 minutes about the heat wave. Sorry.
No, I do that every winter. I'm like, I'm not going to be the person that says that it's getting dark at 3 p.m. And then what do? I make my whole channel about it. And now the whole podcast.
Listen, we're observant people. God forbid someone observes what they're seeing and describes it to the masses. That's what we do. We do it well.
I did my roundup of yearly doctor appointments and I got my blood drawn because I went in there and I was like, hey, girl, I am feeling extremely tired, like all the time. I wake up tired, take a nap, tired, work all day. It doesn't matter what. I could take 5 days off and I'm still exhausted.
Yeah.
I've always felt tired at the end of the night. We all know the Addams family is going to bed at 9 p.m., but I've never felt tired all day long to the point where I have to fight to keep my eyes open no matter how much caffeine I consume. Yes, it's painful tired. So I went in and I said, I think something's wrong with me. I don't know what. And what I've heard from the people being my mom, is that you shouldn't just start randomly taking vitamins because you don't know what you're deficient in. And then then you're just wasting money on random shit.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out what you're lacking. Got my blood work back. Apparently, I am severely deficient in vitamin D and B12 and iron.
Yep.
And now I have to take all three in a little supplement. And I am feeling better since I started taking those supplements.
How long have you been taking them?
Maybe like a week and a half.
Okay.
But I do feel, it's not like crazy. I'm still tired. I started last episode by saying I'm the most tired person on earth. But it is better. Like, I'm not fighting at noon to stay awake.
No, it's cyclical. It also has to do with your hormone cycle too.
So
you are in your cycle will determine kind of how sluggish you can be too. No, I feel that. I've been exhausted recently.
Well, you're such a travel bug. I think I could not getting on and off a plane for me just like takes my brain, crushes it into a million little pieces, throws it out my ears, and then I have to build a new one. You're so good. Your turnaround times are so fast.
I
admire you.
Thank you.
That is what I admire about my friend. Her turnaround times are quick.
I hyperfixate on planes. So I get locked into like whatever game I'm playing or show I'm watching. And then I get kind of irritated when the plane's over because I'm so locked into what I'm doing. But
so the long flights are good for you.
I don't mind them, but I've been flying a lot since I was really little. So I feel like a plane is very nostalgic to me. Like I feel pretty comfortable on a plane.
It's also like the excitement of going somewhere.
Yeah,
I prefer going somewhere versus coming home, you know?
I do know.
Oh, yes. I remember what I was going to tell you. Have you seen the campfire theory circulating?
No, ma'am.
You're going to love it. It's so wholesome, so sweet. We're going to do some cortisol deep breathing right now when I tell you about the campfire theory. I saw this circulating my Instagram feed, and it is called the campfire theory. And this was supposed to be a campfire episode, but it's 100 degrees, so we're not going to turn on the damn campfire.
Sorry.
So it starts. I was sad about losing a friendship. Then I learned about the campfire theory. Imagine you're sitting around a campfire throughout the night. People come and go. Some pull up a chair for 5 minutes before heading home. Some stay for hours laughing and telling stories. Some leave early because they have somewhere else to be. And a very few are there until the very last ember burns out. You wouldn't look around halfway through the night and think the fire must not be good enough because someone left. You'd understand that people have different seasons, different responsibilities, different paths. Friendship is a lot like that. For a long time, I believed that if someone drifted away, it meant that I had failed, that I wasn't enough, that I had done something wrong. Sometimes that's true because we all have room to grow, but often people simply move into a different season of their own life. They get married, they have babies, they change jobs, they move, they start caring for their aging parents, their priorities shift. It doesn't erase what they meant to your story, and it doesn't mean your village is falling apart. Your job isn't to convince people to stay around your campfire forever. Your job is to keep tending the fire, keep inviting, keep gathering, keep making space, keep adding another chair, keep creating warmth around you, because while one person might quietly step away, someone else is looking for a place around the fire. The healthiest villages aren't built by holding on to every person forever. They're built by people who never stop tending to the fire.
Oh,
isn't that so cute?
That's...
The fire's not burning low. Some people just have shit to do.
That's really, I like that a lot. No, it's so true. Because we've talked about friendship breakups quite a bit on this podcast. And it's something that I've been thinking a lot about just as, I don't know, I've just, maybe it's TikTok or whatever. But the friends that I have had that like maybe we've drifted or whatever, there's nothing quite like a friendship breakup. But, and like there is something to be said about It doesn't really have to do with either person, but it's just a timing thing where it's like, your time at the campfire is done. Like, it's time to move on.
But there's always more campfires to be had. That's you can really always come back to the campfire.
That's really cute.
Maybe it's because I was on an emotional roller coaster after my nephews left, and then everything was making me cry. But that touched my little heart. Because in the past year or so, I've had so much more, like, responsibility wise than I ever had, just because everything's like on such like a tight timeline now. And then I like text someone and they're like, hey, haven't heard from you in months. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm the person that vanished into thin air to like everyone in my life. Oopsie.
It's so funny because I feel like you've been really like I feel like you have been more in touch with people than I would even say in the past you had been,
you know. There's a long list of people that might tell you you're wrong. And to that I say, I'm very sorry. No, I have unintentionally ghosted a lot of people. I've unintentionally not asked how people are doing for maybe a little too long. But it's all my fire's burning low. I gotta go to someone else's fire. Yeah, it's
you're
cyclical.
You're pouring into other, like you're in your career era right now. And I think that that's really, really hot of you. Morgan's cooking.
But it can go both ways, right? Like, I think a lot of the times we can leave the campfire and then the other people are like, what the fuck happened? And a lot of the times they leave the campfire and they're like, and then we're like, what the fuck happened to them? But the reality is people are just so busy.
And I think there's something to be said, too, about, like, those kind of friendships that you can pick up and put down and that kind of grow with you. Those are the ones that I find to be, and you and I were like that for years, where it was like, we knew that when we saw each other, it was going to be like no time passed, but I lived in a different state. You lived in a different state. We had different things going on. Like, there's something to be said about those really robust friendships where you don't even have to be at the fire to know that everything is still amazing.
The fire's burning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel the fire to know it's warm. So I think that it's so cool too, the way like how friendships kind of develop over time, like into our late 20s. It's just everything looks so different now. Like all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rough out there, but forgive your friends. Be gentle. Be graceful. Give people space. Yeah. Not everything's about you.
I know.
Well,
let's get into this.
Speaking of deep, depressing thoughts, I found a game that got recommended to me on Amazon Prime Day. And, you know, I'm a good friend with an Amazon card game. I think I have every one that's ever been made. And this one was new to me. I've never heard this one. I've never seen this one. I cannot for the life of me figure out what it's called. Do you get it? The space and?
The blank and.
The blank and? What does that mean?
Well, there's like a...
Is this
there's
going
like an,
over my head?
There's like a... There's a improv game where it's the yes and game. So like when you do improv, or it's like a rule that you can't say no, you have to say yes and. So I think that's a play on that.
Like Ariana. Well, I found this game and it's supposed to be deep questions for strangers. And the rules were very weird. It was like, if you don't want to answer the question, you have to stare deeply into their eyes in 30 seconds and set a boundary that you don't want to answer the question.
You know, before you start gaze into each other's eyes for 30 seconds, sit 1 foot apart. And Morgan's like,
this is
I'm not
weirdly
doing
specific.
That.
This feels like somebody that had a prompt and had to meet 1,000 words to have some sort of instruction.
Yeah,
I'm like,
AI
just,
went crazy
it's just
with
a card
that.
Game.
No, the thought of looking at you in your eyes for 30 seconds.
I don't want to do that with anybody. Sick. Don't look me in the eyes. Don't text me. Don't call me. Don't contact me. I'll get there. My fire's low.
Don't you dare tell her that you love her. She'll cry. I was like, thanks. Love you. She went, oh, sorry.
You know, my brother and I went on a deep dive while his family was here for the 4th of July about why our family just can't operate in an outwardly loving way. But we know it's there.
Yeah.
Like, we feel it. But at the end of the trip, like, my brother and I go to hug each other and it's like a...
While you're sobbing as his kids are leaving, like, you love him. You love them. I know you do.
I know. And even my parents, I'm like, okay. My mom and I slept in a bed together for so many nights in a row. I'm like, see ya, pal. Yeah. Later, skater.
Later, gator.
No, it's something to be worked on. But my parents weren't touchy-feely people, and so we're just not that way. But our love runs deep nonetheless.
I love you so much. Like, I want you to know how much I love you. Like,
I know. Brooke is so outwardly loving. I love deep down.
You love in every single action possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm an action person, not
yes,
a words person. My word count is low. Brooke picked some questions and I picked some questions. Ooh, should we do a little shuffle?
I shuffled them, but you shuffle them more. You shuffle them more, girl.
Should we just make like a, what is this called? A tarot card reading?
Oh my God.
Oh my God, the algorithm, if you're here today, it's a sign you were meant to be here with us. Ooh la la. All right, number one. Oh, this is a good positive one for us positive cortisol ladies. What are you
Morgan's
excited?
Morgan's not shit talking anymore. Terrible. Terrible day to be me.
Yeah, but it's going to be like Brooke saying that she's not going to complain about the heat. Then I'm going to do it all damn day.
Thank God.
What are you most excited about in life right now?
Ooh!
You answer first.
I have to be honest, doing this podcast with you has brought so much joy into my life that I didn't even know was missing. I feel like I went many years without creating anything or doing anything in like the creative outlet, and doing this podcast, like dabbling in my own YouTube stuff, like I haven't felt this fulfilled in that way in so long. And it's something that I didn't think I would ever have again, because I was super creative like growing up and I did music for a long time, and it was something that I just always like thought was over for me. Like, I never really thought I would have an opportunity to pour into that part of me anymore. It's something like it. I didn't see it coming, but it's like been the most fulfilling thing. I can't even get over it.
Ooh, it's like you got blindsided. You didn't know it was happening. My favorite, the thing in life that happens sometimes is when you look back and you think, oh my God, 6 months ago, you could not have told me that this is what I would be doing right now. I love when that, I love it so much. I love when that happens.
I had that major, because we're coming up on the 1 year of the pod. I've been like,
I know, we started filming a year ago, kind of.
Yeah.
We started dabbling, but it's been in the year for almost, or in the works for almost a year now.
Yeah. It's just been, it was something I did not see coming, but it has turned into probably top three most fulfilling things I've ever done in my whole life.
Oh, cute. Yeah. We were talking in the car this morning about how you don't have to feel boxed in your channel. The opportunity is endless. You can always try new things. Yes. You don't have to pick one thing and stick to it. I think that's the beautiful thing about YouTube is that you can just do whatever the hell you want and see what happens.
Yeah.
There's no rules. What am I most excited for in life right now? So as we have discussed many, many of times, I'm going to wait because I talked a few weeks ago about how I was considering renting out my house and mm-hmm. then seeing what happens. But now that my brother can't decide where he wants to live, I'm going to pause for a second. We're all taking a pause. We're all taking a beat. And I think what I'm going to do in the meantime, I'm planning a new channel series because my first idea was I want to buy like a shit, like meth infested house, like completely trashed.
Okay. This was
my grand idea because right. I was trying to think of like
meth house.
Okay, I'm not completely like fulfilled with what I'm creating at the moment. Like it just feels really repetitive to me, kind of, because after so many years of doing the same thing, you're like, all right, I like what I'm doing, but mm-hmm. I need like a little spark. So I had this grand idea and I was like, I'm gonna buy a meth infested house and I'm gonna strip that thing down. But then I was thinking about the house reality flippers. Of that. Yes.
Hello.
And then I was like, you know what? I went through enough with this house. And then I looked out my window and I was like, oh my God, there is an abandoned, scary meth house right behind me in my own yard that I already own. So why on earth would I go buy another shit house to then get sued over yet again when I have one sitting in my very own yard? So
we're talking about the barn, right?
The barn, okay. Yes. I think once Brooke leaves, I'm going to have an architect come out and see what we can do with this little lady back here. Because long term, I think it would be really cool to have like a bougie ADU on your property. So then like, because this weekend, like I had so many people that wanted to stay. I didn't have it. Because think about it. If I would have had more rooms, I could have had Brooke and her husband come. But there just wasn't enough rooms. Like sometimes I feel really lonely. And then sometimes I'm like, oh my God, we need more rooms in these bitches.
We need more beds in this house.
Yeah. So I think long term, while my dad is retired now, I think it would be a fun project for us. But obviously I'm not like a structural engineer or anything. Yeah. And it is going to be the challenges. If you really want to get into the deep woods of it.
Talk to me.
I live on a water well because this is rural America. Mm-hmm. And I don't have city water, so I would have to figure out how to get water that way. We're going to have to figure
it
out.
Not impossible.
Not impossible.
Not impossible.
If there's a will, there's a way. But I think that would be really fun, like designing something, because it's just bare bones. Designing from scratch.
And I remember
starting over.
Because I was with you the day you closed on this house.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
With the lady of the land.
No, I'm telling you, looking back on our friendship is one of the most fun things for me, because there's so many different ways that like our lives have been connected for so long. But yeah, I was with you the day you closed. It was after the road trip. And I remember distinctly walking through the barn with you, Grandma Janice, your mom, mm-hmm. the realtor. And I just remember you gushing about how excited you were about the barn. You're like, I have so many ideas.
That was the point of the whole damn thing.
You were always drawn to the barn and you had so many, like your creativity brain, like you were just lit up about it. So I think it'd be so cool to go full circle and get your ass back in the barn.
We gotta get our asses back in the barn. It could be a pod barn.
Fine, I'll help you paint it.
I would love that.
Ooh, okay, I'll come. Ooh,
we could paint and pod at the same time. How fun would that be? Strap up a microphone. Yeah, there's unlimited opportunity right in my backyard. And you know what? I will tell you, which might be me being overly emotional yet again, but it is really, I don't think I've ever been around kids in a way, like I've met other people's kids, I've seen other people's kids, but not in a way where you're interacting with them a lot. And like seeing things through kids' eyes where you're like, oh, wait a second. Like that is cool, because they're like, Auntie Morgan, red barn. I'm like, well, now I can't move. You know where I live. You know, I'm the lady with the red barn. Like, they're like, red barn, Auntie Morgan, cool. I'm like, okay, well, I have to stay because like, you know I live in the red barn. If you think it's cool, of course it's cool.
Wait till they see your tractor.
I know, right? They were a little afraid of it. But that's what I'm planning for the rest of the summer, perhaps.
I love that.
Perhaps.
I think that's
awesome.
And we'll keep potting. We're going to plan Potoween. I think that could be fun. I think I was looking back because me and my brother were talking about, like, okay, what podcast episodes did I really like? Which ones was I like, man, this isn't my favorite? I really like when we go somewhere. I think it's really fun to be on the go.
Well, that was like our original like big dream with the pod too, is like we did film early episodes in hotel rooms and traveling. And I just remember when we started talking about the pod at the beginning, you were like, I just want to go experience more. And that, like, what a cool vehicle. Like, we can meet wherever.
Right.
And I think that as we've gotten more established in this, we now know, like, we're down to one camera angle. Like, there's things about the pod that have changed, even from how we did Potoween the first time. Like, how we'll do Potoween the second time will be, like, so much easier and, like, so much better. So I love the idea of traveling more.
Yeah, there's a lot to be seen, okay? I'm trying to get out. I'm in a homebody, like, phase right now, but I'm trying to get out more. So
if you have any suggestions on where we can pod to go, please let us know. Genuinely.
Yeah, and it doesn't just have to be Potoween. We could pod to go anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere. Your turn to pick a card.
Okay. Ooh, these are interesting. These are like in the me. Okay. Ooh. What do you think makes me the happiest?
Wow. Where do you want to begin? You know what? The special thing about Brooke is she can be entertained by anything. Anything. Brooke has more interests than anyone I've ever met. And when off the top of my head, I could think of 10 things. Her husband.
Yeah.
Number one, which is amazing. Fish, museums, aquariums, anywhere where we go in a vehicle. What else? There's some big ones. Dreamlight Valley.
Yes.
What's your favorite YouTuber? What's that man's name that goes in the jungle? Brooke's niche YouTubers that be fucking up my algorithm. But you know what? It's an act of love to have other people's interest in your algorithm. But overall, what makes you the happiest? I think traveling with your husband and being able to use your creative brain.
Yes.
And your family.
Yes. I love my people and I love doing things with my people.
Yeah.
You being one of my people.
Aww. I mean, I didn't want to say it, but like, I guess I could be there too.
No, I have a lot of niche interests. Like a lot of them.
I think you're so easily amazed and entertained. It's like a childlike wonder.
I need to know everything about everything. Okay, what do I think makes you happy? Honestly, the way you've been glowing about your nephews and spending time with Shane and Ryland recently, like I can tell it taps into like another level of happy. Like, as your friend, I know those levels, and it's deep, 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 deep. So I would say they're probably at the top of the list.
Oh, they're so cute. When I go to bed at night, sometimes when I'm like feeling a little sad, I'll pull up in my albums and I'll look at the album that's all named Jet and all named Max, and I'll just scroll and I'll be like, oh my God,
and there's two separate ones, because of course there are.
Yeah. You're so sweet. No, yeah, I've been loving hanging out with my family. And
you have been.
Yeah, I've been trying to like involve myself more, like get deeper with the people in your small circle versus expanding circle.
Yeah.
That's what I've been working on.
And you've been really happy whenever you've been in LA. That's another place that I can think of when I think of like you really happy.
You know those videos where they're showing someone's friends and it's like your friend that doesn't know how to emote and they look miserable and you're like, are you having fun? And you're like, yeah, I'm having the best day of my life. That is me.
You go, I could cry right now. I'm so effing happy. What are you talking about?
I'm having the best day of my life. And I'm like, this is awesome. I swear.
I'll go, Morgan, are you mad at me or something? She goes, no, I couldn't love you more. I'm like, oh. Oh, okay, just a second.
My family can't love outwardly and we can't emote. Sue us. Ooh. What is your biggest hope for your future?
I would say my biggest one is I'd really love to be a mom soon. That's my biggest hope for the future, is that I'm blessed with that journey. And my biggest hope for the future is that everyone just stays like happy and healthy around me. I feel like everyone in my circle is just in a season of like really positive things. Like you're thriving. My sister's like, everyone's thriving. And I really just hope everything kind of stays
like that.
Everyone stays happy and healthy.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. My biggest hope for the future, I would say, similar to you, that everyone in my life stays happy, healthy. I would say to continue to push myself to feel creatively fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get into such a routine that you don't feel like the most spark in your heart and your brain, you know, but
100%.
So sometimes you have to push yourself. That's what I'm trying to like think about. Like I need something new to push myself to be like creatively inspired again.
Well, being creative on demand is something that's like uniquely difficult. And I feel like you've been put in a position where you need to be creative on demand for months on end, like years on end at this point. And so I think that being able to seek out new inspiration is like, it's a feat. Like it's really challenging. So I think that that's a really good answer.
Yes, it is really challenging. It is also like my favorite thing on earth.
Yeah.
Because you really have to like dig deep sometimes, or you have to like look for inspiration and weird little things. Like I'll go for drives a lot and just like think, and then I'll be driving and then something will hit me and I'll be like, that's what I needed. Now I'm ready. So sometimes you just have to dig deep, but yeah. I would say to stay close with my friends and family and creatively fulfilled.
I love that.
And if you're not creatively fulfilled, pivot.
Pivot,
girl.
We love a pivot.
We love a pivot. What's a mistake you make repeatedly, and what would happen if you stopped making it? I know mine. Let's take a damn thumbnail picture before we leave.
Wait, we're 1 out of 4 today. Hold on. Second episode, you guys, we already did it. We're doing good.
If you've ever wondered why sometimes you click on the thumbnail and you're like, oh, that's not the outfits that they're wearing in the thumbnail, it's because we forgot to take a damn thumbnail photo. And then I'm up on Thursday night scrambling, being like,
there was an episode like 2 episodes ago. And I opened the video and the top comment is, holy shit, Brooke looks rough in this.
Who? You?
Holy shit, Brooke looks rough in this. I go, oh,
wait,
wow.
Which one?
I forget. It was some stupid one. But I was like, that's what we get, because it was a picture from like forever ago. And it was like, we forgot to take thumbnail photos. Womp womp.
I never thought you looked rough.
Mwah. Thanks, friends. I didn't know what they were talking about. I was like, okay. I was like, I believe you. Fine. So yours is thumbnail? The thumbnail mistake?
That would be like my work one. Like, hey, maybe take a thumbnail photo before shit hits the fan on Thursday night for us. If I had to think of a life one, what's a mistake I make in life? I don't know. I'm perfect.
Yeah, you are.
Just kidding.
No, I was going to say that. I'm so glad you said it.
No,
I was thinking
I make
it.
So many mistakes. Maybe don't be such a revolving door, you know? Like maybe set boundaries with people. I don't know.
I think
I'd have to really sit and simmer on this one.
I think a mistake that I consistently, like when I'm like, it's kind of like when you hit the brick wall and you're like, ow, that hurt. I feel like that moment for me is always when I get very out of touch with myself. Like I have a tendency to kind of, everything kind of gets away from me. It's like the ADHD in me. And there will be times where like I'm really like out of my body or like not taking care of, like I don't even realize I'm doing it until I like something catastrophic happens and I hit the wall and I'm like, oh, like
the wall's right
there. Haven't been checking in on myself enough. Whether that's like bandwidth or like making sure that I'm spreading myself equally amongst all the things that I like want to do or accomplish. So I think like, If I was able to get a handle on self-discipline and routine, I would be unstoppable. But unfortunately, everything that my brain is wired to be is the opposite of routine and like stability. It's just not how I've ever operated. And being married to someone who does operate like that has made me realize even more how much of a nut job I am, because I can't.
No, I would say you're not a nut job, number one.
Uh-huh.
You are uniquely you.
Uh-huh.
And your husband is uniquely by the book, like the stereotypical,
so
neurotypical person.
He's so neurotypical. He didn't know what neurodivergent was when I met him. I went, oh, hell, sit down.
And now he's gotten to taste the full package, honey.
I remember. I remember the first time him and I talked about me having ADHD, and it was like months into us dating. I like mentioned it. He's like, what's that? Like, can you walk me through that? And I'm like telling him about it. He's like, that makes a lot of sense. I went, thank you. I'm like, unfortunately, very textbook, apparently.
You know what? DSM-5, I used to have one on my coffee table.
You
and
did?
My brother made me put it away. Actually, Shane told me I wasn't allowed to have the DSM-5 on my coffee table because it was during COVID times. This was when I was going to neuroscience school and I was really into the whole thing. And so I got a DSM-5 because that's what all the people have is a DSM-5. How else are you going to know what's wrong with you? And then I started reading it and I thought that I had every single one.
Never let me touch that book.
No.
I would...
Uh-huh. It's a terrible book.
Oh, this is... I got another me one. What do you think people remember about me?
Ooh.
The face you just made.
No, they're so... You're such a unique person. It's hard to forget you, I would say.
Oh. No, I mean, that's a compliment. That I'm sweating now.
Is a compliment. That is a compliment. I say it like me, I think I blend in with all the suburb bitches of America where you are so uniquely you that like I couldn't miss you if I saw you from 2 miles away.
Oh, like physically or like how I behave?
No, I just think you're so unique.
Really?
But if I had to think of one specific, like what do people think? What people in my life say about you when they meet you for the first time is that you're very well spoken.
Really?
Yes. They say she very, like, you articulate yourself very well.
That's very kind.
I couldn't articulate myself for shit. I know what I'm thinking in my, like, I can see a vision in my head. If you asked me to explain it to you, I would croak and die right here, right now. Brooke can explain to you exactly in detail what she's thinking, why she's thinking it, how she came to think it, and what she was doing when she thought of it.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you how I feel about something at any given moment, even in the heat of, like, highly intense a conflict or highly intense emotional moments. I have always had a clarity about how and what I'm feeling. That's unnerving to people sometimes because a lot of people, they don't know how they're feeling. They need a minute. But for me, I get to it so quickly. I'm like, well, this is how that makes me feel. And they're like, okay, can I have 10 seconds to think about like how I feel? No, that's so sweet. I think what people remember most about you, just from like the people in my life who've met you, you are so thoughtful with the way that you speak to people.
Aww.
You always lean in. And I feel like when someone is speaking to you, you listen to every single word that they're saying. And you're not like just listening, like you're listening to them. You're not just hearing them. And I've seen you do it like with people in my life. But even like if like a viewer sees you out in public, like you have such a way of stopping and making that person feel like they are seen and acknowledged.
Aww.
Very deeply. And I think that that really sticks with people.
Yeah, in a social interaction, I would prefer to be a listener than a speaker.
And you're really good at it, though.
I want to know what you're thinking. Ask me what I'm thinking. I have no idea.
You're like,
I'm lost. I'm floating here.
You go, let me think about it. I'll get back to you.
I'm like, can you give me 10 weeks to think about it? And maybe I'll come up with something. Yeah. I don't know. Aw, thanks. That is very sweet. Mwah. Okay. Ooh, this is deep and personal.
These are getting very deep and personal. I'm sweating.
Support for today's episode comes from Square, the business platform that helps sellers become neighborhood favorites. Whether you're gearing up for a busy season or just trying to keep up with every demand, Square keeps your businesses running smoothly. It brings payments, POS, online order, inventory, and staff all into one place so you can focus on your customers, not your to-do list. We actually went to our favorite coffee shop across the street from the office this morning and noticed that they were using Square for their payments. Square is built to support all kinds of businesses, whether they're just starting out or growing from one location to many. Their hardware and software are designed to be incredibly easy to use, so your day-to-day operations feel simpler. Plus, they offer transparent pricing with no hidden fees or locked-in contracts, so you can cancel or switch anytime. Square helps you run your business more smoothly, bringing payments, operations, and insights together in one place so you're ready for whatever's next. Right now, listeners can get up to $200 off Square hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/hearmeout. That's square.com/go/hearmeout. Get started with Square and build a setup that works the way you do. I tried to look up a game because all of our other games are like, how do you like to be railed in the ass?
What's something about your sex life that you don't want your parents to know? It's like everything. What do you mean? What do you mean? Everything. Ew.
My mom the other day said, your podcast is explicit.
No, Vicky. No, I'm so sorry.
I think she might have listened to a Patreon one, though, and I was like, Mom, the Tron is not for you.
Yeah, that's viewer discretion.
That viewer discretion advice.
Patreon is...
How do you think our differences enhance our relationship?
Ooh, la la. I think that one's pretty easy.
Oh, okay. Then you go first.
My thought is that...
Because I have nothing. I don't know. Well, I don't have nothing, but I need to think about it.
My thought is that I am a much more... expressive person, just naturally, like with what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. And I'm very, my way of processing things is I have to talk things out. Whereas I feel like you are kind of like, you can be, not always, but you can be kind of a lone wolf. You can be like, I'm gonna confront whatever I need to confront by myself. And I feel like sometimes I can overprocess and get on a wheel. And then you can self-isolate and like never address things that maybe should be addressed. But I feel like our friendship is such a balance of the two, because I'll pull you out of like maybe like a self-isolation and you'll kind of calm me down. It'd be like, not everything needs to be talked about for 17 hours in a circle in order to find resolution. No, but I think like it really does.
I pull you out of the spiral, I would say.
You like stop the spin. And I feel like... And I'll like pull you out of a cave and be like, hey, let's talk about this for 5 seconds. And like, so it can see the light. And then we don't have to like, you know, like.
I'm very much, we've discussed it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
Which I think is offensive to many people.
I do think that is a big difference between the two of us. I feel like I'm much more of like a, I need to talk it out. And you're so much of like a, I've already thought about it in my head. Like, not everything needs to be a conversation. And I think that our differences, like, really blend well together.
We can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Do you think that is? Maybe, perhaps, because you grew up with sisters where you always had, like, people to talk to. And then you guys, because there was so many of you, it was like it can go on forever and ever because there's so many, like, opinions to be had.
I think I really struggled socially because of my... ADHD and whatever else I probably have. I struggled socially. Listen, autism test coming soon. I don't want to spoil.
Now that's a vlog. That is a banger.
I straight up told my mom, hey, I'm thinking about doing this for a vlog.
There's an autism center by me.
No, sick. Because I straight up told my mom that recently. She goes, you should do that.
You don't suffer. You just have it. That's my favorite quote.
I saw a quote on TikTok. I told Morgan about it. Someone was in a fight with their friend. And he goes, can you hop off the spectrum for a second? So funny. Anyways, but I think because I struggled socially so much, I always felt so misunderstood. Because I would get reactions from people. And they'd be like, well, you threw that shoe across the room and it hit me in the head and now I'm mad at you. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't mean to hit you. Like, I'm so sorry. Please don't be mad at me. I didn't mean to hit you. And they're like, well, it doesn't matter if you didn't mean to. You still hit me with your shoe. And then I'd be like, and they'd be like, I think you're a shit person for that. And I'd be like, oh my God, am I? And so I would, like, I always like struggled because I felt like I was always like this very misunderstood person. So I think in conflict or like just generally, something I wish I was better at not doing is over-explaining myself because I'm like, I feel this need to be understood. Like, not being understood is like the scariest thing to me because I'm like, oh my God, they don't understand me, then I'm cooked. Because that's how it was when I was a kid. So I think, and then I spiral out of control because I don't know when I've been. Sorry, there's a critter.
It's a baby bunny.
Aw. But I do think having sisters also contributed to that. We're like, You could talk with my sisters and my mom. We could talk for 50 hours on the same topic.
Yeah. See, I think where mine comes from is because I didn't have any siblings at home and both of my parents worked. So when I got home from school, I was like, I'm going to my room. Yeah. I loved my room. I closed my door and I lived in bliss from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. My parents were like, time for dinner. I was like, do I have to leave my room?
drop it off.
drop it. No, that would have been like everything to me. I'd be like, can you please drop it at the door and do not make a peep when you do it?
Oh my God.
But I do think a lot, I don't know if it's genetic or not, because I feel like all of my family is pretty introverted, maybe, I don't know. But I spent a lot of time in my room as a kid. A lot of time in my room alone doing miscellaneous things by myself. And then I realized, oh, if I have a problem, I can figure it out in my own head and then my problem's solved.
Yeah. Right. And but, you don't have to involve other people in solving that problem.
Yes. And I've also learned the more people you involve, sometimes the bigger the problem becomes.
Yeah.
Because one of my like deep fears that, you know, we all happen to do from time to time is the more people you involved in the problem, sometimes you involve people too much to where the damage becomes too big. Like if you're having a problem with a friend and then you go tell your other friend about it, then you have now it went from a 2-person drama to a 3-person drama.
God, and then you tell your mom.
Yeah. Especially in high school or college, fires spread so fast.
Yeah.
And I think one of my biggest fears is being the person that started the fire without meaning to start a fire. And now there's like a hate campaign for a person that I accidentally started.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But I learned from Brooke. I get out more. You keep me young and alive. You get me out of these four walls and I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I've been with more places with you than I have with anyone else.
That is an honor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on a field trip tomorrow too, you guys.
We are. We'll tell you about it when we get there. Pick a card.
What's a mistake that you've made that affected your life for the better?
Oh my God, these are deep.
These are so deep.
A mistake that I made that affected my life for the better, dropping out of college.
I was going to say when that like study abroad thing happened.
Yeah, when I fucked up my study abroad. I've told this story so many times, but TLDR, long story short, I submitted all of my stuff because I was going to study abroad in the Czech Republic. And I don't know if I fucked up. They say that she fucked up. No idea. My study abroad thing didn't get approved and then I didn't get to go. And then I was so mad that I had to go. Like, I went to CU Denver, which is kind of like a commuter college here in Colorado. And I was so mad about it. Literally fuming out the ears every day, driving in my Ford Fusion to CU Denver. Hell on earth in my eyes. Hated it there. Hated it, hated it, hated it. Literally paid for the semester and failed every single class because I hated it so much. And that was probably the best mistake that ever happened to me, because then I would have never started YouTube if I wasn't a college flop.
Dude, that's such a good answer. I don't know what mistake. I don't think I have enough. I guess in hindsight, dating my first boyfriend, I really struggled. Like, I was like, don't. Nothing's a mistake. Like, everything leads you to where you are. And although I think that's true, I think that when you spend so much time of such like a very valuable time in your life in your early 20s, like when you spend it incorrectly, i.e. giving it to someone, like that just, I threw it away in a lot of ways. And that's how I felt about it for a long time. And I really struggled with like deep feelings of regret. 'Cause 5 years from 18 to 22, almost 23, like it's just, you when you're 28, it's hard not to mourn those years and like,
yeah,
what could
a
have been
chapter of your life.
Yeah.
And so, such a pivotal chapter of growth for so many people,
and just what it ended up turning into. Like, it just, there's no way I could look at it as not a waste. But if that didn't happen, I would have never met you, because I probably would have left LA much sooner.
True.
And I wouldn't be with my husband now, because I probably would have met some other, like, it's just, there's so many what ifs that happen. So I think, although I do think it was a mistake to have stayed in that for as long as I did, it probably ended up making my life better in some way.
Led you to where you're supposed to be.
Yes, yes.
Even if it wasn't your favorite chapter. Not every chapter has to be our favorite.
I know, that's right.
Okay. Ooh, what's the scariest thing someone could tell you? Your nudes leaked online. Morgan, what did you post on your story? Morgan, did you mean to post that? Morgan, your nudes are online.
Did I say that? You said it twice. You go, did I say that yet?
No, getting a phone call of someone being like, did you mean to post that? That would send me into such, I would literally blast off into space and you would never see me again. I would be so afraid to even open my own phone.
God.
Your iCloud got leaked.
Sensitive topic for the Addams Family. This is
a horrible topic. I mean, it worked for Kim Kardashian, but I don't know if it would work for me.
I think the scariest thing, the scariest thing that someone could tell me is if, like, if we were at some, like, party or, like, some social event the night before, and the next day someone came up to me and goes, why did you do that last night? Or, you were being annoying last night. Oh, my God, it makes my pulse. You were being annoying last night. Oh. Oh, no.
And, oh, hey, no.
Personal experience. Hey, point of personal experience. Horrible feeling, because you're like, how annoying? Like, what was annoying? Like, oh my God. Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
Oh.
Leak my news before you call me annoying. Like, please leak my news before you call me an annoying person.
That's why I can't get blackout drunk anymore, because there is nothing worse than waking up to the debrief of people being like, oh my God, you were out of control.
And what if I told you alcohol is not in that equation? What if I told you that's just like, it was just like me being excited? I've grown a lot, you guys. I've mellowed out, as
no,
the kids
no,
would say.
People just don't share your excitement for life, and that's okay.
I only share my excitement these days.
They're at a different campfire. Send them to another
pit. I share my excitement these days with like four people. My husband, you, and two of my sisters. The other two, no. The other two. The other one. Only two of them get my true excitement. Okay. If we went to high school together, would we have been friends or not?
You know, that's deep.
I think
I would say probably not.
I think we would have been friends. I don't think we would have known each other.
Yeah, you would have been in the theater.
Yeah,
in the theater room.
In the theater artsy kind of like, I didn't like hang out with many people in high school. Like I was like more in like the arts and you were more with like the sports kids and the
I was on the dance team.
Yeah.
I was the worst one. I fell in competition, never got to compete again. But I did hang out with the dance team.
Yeah, I think our personalities would have matched. I just don't think that we would have like run into each other.
Yeah, I think we would have been in different hallways.
Yeah.
You would have been in like the academic excellence hallway. What do they call it, IB?
Oh, I was hiding in the hall. I was like trying to avoid everyone. And you were like Mrs. Social. You were like, let's
that,
go.
I was social back in the day. Mm-hmm. I socialed myself out.
Describe the first time your perspective changed significantly.
Oh, I have my answer right off the bat.
Speak to me.
There was a time which I've moved on from and I had completely let go, but I was feeling really good. And maybe this is why I'm so introverted and don't want to make friends, but I had made a lot of friends in Los Angeles who I thought were my really near and dear and good friends. We were all YouTuber friends. We were all influencer friends. We were all best buddies that could ever be. And then when something happens where the thing that you have might not be beneficial to these people anymore, suddenly I had no friends. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Never heard from any of them ever again. Saw on Spill Sesh that all my friends had unfollowed me. That one hits deep. When people that you think are your near and dear friends, oh my God, you're my ride or die, love you so much, bestie for my life, yay. When they can't gain something from you anymore, they're going to unfollow you and you're going to be like, oh my God, we weren't actually friends. And that was a big learning lesson for me. Protect your energy.
I hate that.
Hate it. Terrible.
Terrible. Damn.
People jump ship. As soon as the ship isn't in their favor, as soon as the sea is not going in their direction anymore, they're jumping.
It's crazy.
So I thought I had a lot of friends at one point, and then when I realized that all of my friends were transactional friends and they actually wanted something from me, maybe that's why I don't want to make so many friends anymore, honestly.
Yeah, valid.
That was mine. What's yours?
What was the perspective change?
I think it was a kind of similar to yours. I think for a long time, I thought that there was a big lesson that I learned, and it was kind of like an all at once moment where I think I just got mature enough, or maybe my frontal lobe developed, or I don't know, I just kind of grew up a little bit, is realizing that you don't have to be for everyone. Like, it's okay if so-and-so, like, it's okay if not everybody likes you, because as long as you like you, like, you're not going to be everybody's flavor. And the people that are everybody's flavor typically are pretty bland. And I think that it's okay to not always try and, like, accommodate every single person around you, like, to be liked by everyone, you know? I think that was a big perspective changer, and it kind of changed the way that I view friendships and relationships just generally.
I'm trying to decide how in the weeds I want to get. I got into hometown drama.
When?
Like, recently.
What are you talking
about? I ruffled some feathers, Brooke. Okay. To be broad.
What?
This is going off of what you said, because I think we all have some sort of awareness, you know, like, people are talking shit about us. People, we turn our backs and people don't like us, whatever, whatever, whatever. Like, when we're not in the room, people talk about us. Sometimes it's just what happens in social events. I've met this person a few times. They've been to my house a few times, eaten my food a few times, like, acted like we were friends of all friends.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I get a text from one of my other friends, and it is like messages between like two other people that I know, and they're sending back and forth our podcast thumbnails. And the verbatim word that this person who has been to my house multiple times used, they said, "I fucking hate her so much." And then I spiraled, because we know people are talking shit about us. We know people hate us, not us, but like, life in general. Like, I think we all have the like conscious awareness that we're not for everyone, but I don't think I've ever seen it, like, looked at something and been like, "Oh, I thought that person was my friend. Like, I thought we were cool. I thought that person was my friend." And then I went through a whole spiral, and I went to my mom and I was like, "This person said they hated me." And she was like, "Okay, and?" And I was like, "You're right. Okay, and? And what?"
"And I'm gonna need the name of this person." "And you we'll could be the bigger after. Person, but I'm not."
Yeah, but it makes you realize, like, oh yeah, people hate us, and life keeps going, and the world keeps spinning, and like, you can sit and you can dwell about the fact that, like, okay, XYZ person doesn't like me. What I do, my job or whatever it is, isn't for this person. And guess what? The world keeps spinning. We keep going. Everything stays the same. And like, I think I've learned not to dwell on things.
But I think that's why it's so important to be living a life and becoming and being a person that you can be proud of at the end of the day. Like,
right. Like,
as long as you 100%. Know in your heart that you are trying your best to be the best version of yourself and to live a life that adds good into this world and doesn't create chaos or destruction, then you can go to bed at the end of the night and know that you're good. And then when someone does throw a stone, it just bounces right off you, because you're like, "Oh, well, I didn't do anything to you. I know I didn't do anything to you. So whatever opinion you're making about me, that has more to do with you than it does me, because I'm just being myself." And if that really sets you off so severely where you have to text and say all this crazy stuff because you hate our guts so badly, it's like, if we did do something for you, to you, bring it up to us so we can address it and make right on that. And if we didn't, why? That has nothing to do with us.
In the words of Blair Walnuts, it's pitiful.
What pitiful behavior.
What pitiful behavior. So yeah, you gotta let those stones bounce right off you, because people hate us, and that's just what it is. Well, that's like the thing about putting your life online too, right? Is I think the reason a lot of people don't want to do it, because they're afraid of people in their real life and people in their hometowns making fun of them. And to that I say, at least you're giving them something to talk about.
I know, that's right. Oh my God, I wonder if anyone from my hometown watches this. Hey guys.
100% they do.
Oh my God.
I told Spencer, I was like, "I bet so many girls from your high school watch the Shane Dawson podcast just to see you." And he said, "I guarantee there's not one." And I said, "There's at least a dozen and a half."
Oh my God. If anyone's from high school, hey.
If there was somebody from my high school that was like sitting down and talking to a camera, oh, I'd be so locked in. I would want to know everything.
Really?
Yes. 100%.
Oh my God. I've never even considered that. And I spinning my hands.
Suddenly she's nervous.
Oh, my hands are sweating.
Ooh, what do you think is one thing that we surprisingly have in common? I think we have a lot of things in common. We, you know, our entire wardrobes.
Half our personality. I have one half, she has the other.
Our shoes, our purses, our outfits, our hair.
Hair. I think we have very, very similar humor.
Mm-hmm.
Very. That was something
Some humor.
Some would call it stupid humor.
People be throwing stones at us left and right.
I'm nervous.
You remember when we got into hometown drama with the rugby players?
Oh, yeah, we never told y'all about that.
We did.
Did we tell you guys that I got into a controversy where they were the rugby team who was... Yeah, no, that was crazy. That was so early on.
Episode in, we got into a controversy with a rugby team that we don't even know.
Over behavior, they did. Crazy. No, I think our humor is probably the thing that unites us the most. Like, because we can really, really laugh.
We stand united over here.
We are united front.
You pick a card.
Okay. What do you think is the biggest difference between us?
Oh. I think you're just more extroverted. Brooke likes to be on the go. Brooke likes to travel. Brooke likes to be out and about experiencing all the beauty that the world has to offer. You're honestly, I would say that you really thrive in a social setting. Like, you have a lot of friends.
Not really. I mean, I
you make friends with strangers. You're good at like talking to people. I would say you're just so social and extroverted.
I feel like I definitely have an adventurous spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love an adventure. I feel like, and you would say you're just more of a homebody.
I think I'm more shy, more introverted, and more reserved.
Yeah. I would say probably the biggest difference that I like notice might be our communication styles.
Yes.
Like I'm more of like a kind of like direct and like collaborative communicator, and I feel like you're more passive and like not passive in a bad way, but like you don't really feel the need to like address things, or like it, you're much more reserved, I would say.
Yes.
And so I would say probably that's the biggest difference, is just the way that like we move through life communicating differently.
So true.
Your turn, Blondie.
Very true. Couldn't have said it better myself. What do you feel is preventing you from becoming the person you want to be? Damn.
Oh my God.
Preventing me from becoming the person that I want to be. I can say this easily. I live in fear of what the commenters on my vlog channel say about my decisions, which is something that I'm actively trying to work on. But it is hard when your entire career is based on the opinions of other people. And some of the opinions are louder than others, which is, we all know the facts of it. Like, you could say to someone a million times over, like, you shouldn't listen to what other people that you don't know have to say. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, I'm creating videos for these people to watch. So you also have to take into consideration some things.
That is
a hard balance.
Well, and I think just like from as like your friend looking in, you don't at this point know anything different. You've been doing this since you were like, what, 19?
Yeah.
Like almost a decade now. Like it's, you don't, you've lived your entire 20s under a microscope. And so it's no, I don't even know how you would begin to like unlearn that, because it's just so integrated into like every fiber of your brain. And I think that it's a unique challenge that like only you can, like only really you know how that impacts you, you know?
Yeah, it was so funny because I was watching the DCC season 3, Making the Team. It's not called Making the Team anymore. I forget what the Netflix one is called, but I watch every season. And I was watching, because this season was really heavily edited towards like the new wave of the girls that are on the team and how they're having to navigate like having a social media presence now that the show is such a big hit, and like now that they're all TikTokers or now that they're all influencers while being a part of like this big dance team that is so taxing on them. And I was watching the show and I was like, God, this is horrible. Like, I cannot believe that these girls get so much criticism. Oh my God, this is terrible. And then I'm like talking to someone about it and they're like, isn't that what happens to you? And I'm like,
doesn't that sound like your life?
Yeah. And it just becomes so normal to you at some point that you kind of forget that it's happening.
I can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, you can.
I'm getting there, girl.
I mean, you're here right now.
Slowly but surely.
She's dabbled in the comments
section.
Slowly
but surely, I have learned my lesson. I've learned never, ever go digging in Morgan's vlog channel comments because you will get your feelings hurt. That is what I've learned.
Wait, like you specifically? Oh, I never click newest first. I look at the top comment. I don't click newest first on anything. That's
you
the lesson
that
you
learn. You mistake one time and then you go,
oh, which vlog?
It was like one of our...
our ghostly adventures?
Yeah, it was like one of the ghost... I think maybe the Stanley video or something. I like wasn't even really thinking. I like kind of just opened the video and glanced at the comments and went, oh, okay. Like, hey, I don't think this is a place for me. I don't think I'm supposed to be here.
Well, I go through seasons where it's not a place for me either. I go back and forth.
What do you really want to tell me? Deep.
What do I really want to tell you?
Other than the name of that person who said, who texted.
Oh, the person that was hate criming me to everyone I know while pretending to be my friend to my face?
Yeah, other than that.
What do I want to tell you? That is deep. I feel like I say what I want to say.
You do.
I feel like I don't hold back.
You don't, and I appreciate that about you.
I would tell you.
Don't trip chocolate chip.
Don't trip chocolate chip, number one. Number two, I really think you should do long style deep dive videos. But I have told you. I've already told you that today.
Really? Yeah, you did. You went, when are you doing that? I went, oh.
No, because I think you would be so good. It's such a gift that you have that you are so like detail oriented about these things. Because I don't think, like me personally, it would be like nails on a chalkboard to figure out like all of the deep research behind something. Whereas you do that effortlessly and naturally. Like yeah. I like to watch people talk about things, but I don't want to go digging myself.
Yeah.
So I think you would really thrive in that.
Thanks, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to try that.
Something I really want to tell you. I would tell you that over the last few months, I have been very, very, very proud of you.
Oh.
In the way that you have been asking for help
and
outsourcing things that in the past you would put all on yourself to figure out. And I think that there was a time where you were not, it wasn't that, it was almost like you were too scared to like let go of any control because you have this thing, you have like your machine and it's well oiled. But I think there was a point where I was seeing it take such a toll on your mental that over the last few months, I've seen you kind of like open back up a bit because you've gotten brave and started asking for help in the ways that like were overdue. And I'm just really proud of you for that because I know that wasn't easy. And it's really nice to see a little sparkle back in your eye.
Oh,
that's what I would tell you.
Yeah, it is. It's okay to ask for help, people.
It really is.
Even if it's something small, even if it's like something that like a family member could do for you that would like really help you. Like, because sometimes my mom will be like, what can I do to help you? And I used to be like, nothing. And now I'll be like, well, you could help me with this.
Because it really goes back to
even if it's little things.
It was,
you know,
what you were saying. Like you were just used to like kind of like figuring it out on your own.
I've always been a one woman production.
Yeah. And I think it's nice to see you kind of opening up a little bit more.
I'm trying.
You're
getting there. Through trial and error, you find what works, what doesn't work, what really helps you like open up space in your brain more and what's like not worth it.
No, you're
and
doing
sometimes
a good
you have
job.
To do trial and error of like what is worth outsourcing versus what isn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do some test runs and sometimes those test runs go horribly wrong.
No, you're doing a good job.
Oh, thanks. Friendship. Ooh. What's your greatest fear about getting older? I know mine. My greatest fear about getting older is not me getting older, but it's seeing my family members get older too, because I am so blessed and privileged in the way that I still have both of my parents and my grandma, who means so much to me. And the thought of anything happening to any of them makes me want to jump off of that barn over there. Or even my, we were talking the other day about how my old brother is approaching 40. And I was thinking, 40? We're kids. We're kids. Hey, we're kids. And it's so weird to watch people transition to we're kids to now, oh no, we're not kids. You're fully an adult with your own kids. Spooky. Ugh. Spooky. So yeah, seeing people in my life get older, I think is really scary to me.
That's a really good answer. I would say that's probably up there for me too. I think the only other thing I can think of is, I think because I made so many like mistakes in my 20s of like how I spent time, there is a fear that I'm going to like miss something or like miss out on something. I'm not giving it like the attention that it needs. And then I'm going to like wake up one day and realize that like that ship sailed. So like traveling to a certain place or doing a certain thing. And like, for example, like Venice, like the city in Italy, it's sinking.
Oh, mm-hmm. Like sinking underwater.
In our lifetime, it is likely that Venice will be underwater because it's actively sinking into the ground.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And there's this, like in my head, it's like things like that where I'm like, well, if I don't go see Venice, like maybe I'll never be able to see Venice.
Yeah,
like
you'll never get the chance.
And then I'll be like old, like 80 and be like, oh my gosh, my life is almost over and I didn't go do that thing or I didn't go see that thing. Like I think that yeah. really like kind of makes me panic when I think about that.
Ooh, I would say 6 months ago, I would have told you a different answer. And my answer would be that I would never find anyone that was like meant for me. But I keep seeing all these people. And I know I raved about Taylor Swift for the entire last episode. Taylor Swift just got married and she's going to be 37. And
I love that.
Yeah. And she just, not that 37 is old, but it's like she kind of got to do, like, I think it's inspiring as like a person who like also wants to have like big, like a bigger career to be like, you can do that and you can still find your person. And so many people are like, if you don't find your person by 28, 20, like before you're 30, mm-hmm. then it's too late. And I think now we're seeing a lot of people that are like waiting until their 30s and then finding like their perfect match and being like, oh, well, when I was in my 20s, that just wasn't my time to find my perfect person, because all of our timelines are so different.
Oh, yeah. And comparing your timeline to someone else's timeline doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Literally doesn't do anything for you. Jacob, my husband, says, don't measure yourself with someone else's ruler.
Right.
Like
100%.
Because it does all it doesn't change anything. Doesn't do anything. I know. I think that's a good answer.
Thanks. I'm going to answer
that. Oh, this is a weird question. I don't think we've ever talked. What was your first impression of me?
I remember thinking, she is so smiley. She is so cheerful.
I remember thinking,
she has so much pep in her step.
I did in that damn yellow t-shirt.
You did. You know what? You wore that damn yellow t-shirt and you wore it with a pep and a step and a smile on your face. Morning.
I love being
which is
there.
Really, you know, so many people are at their jobs and they're so annoyed at the world. I'm sure when I was on the border, I was like, fuck my life. I hate it here. And you really made the most of your 7 a.m. yellow t-shirt.
I loved it. I was like, I get to step you. Okay.
Like, let me get you a pad for your butt.
I remember I don't remember like what I first thought of you. I just remember how I felt being around you and interacting. Like I just felt this like warmth. Cause I was I'm from the Midwest. So like I was used to like just warm people. And living in LA, especially during that time of like 2018, like there wasn't a lot of that around, especially in Calabasas and like LA. And I just remember being like when I did engage, like interact with you, because we interacted like once or twice before you and I like exchanged numbers.
Before our big breakthrough.
Before our first date.
Yeah. Before our pumpkin carving date.
But I just remember feeling like, oh, that feels like a friend that I've like would have at home. Like a home friend.
I felt the same way. Like a college friend almost.
Yeah, like a home friend. Like someone like that cozy. I could have a sleepover with. Mm-hmm. Like, and in LA at that time, like that just wasn't my experience at all.
Oh yeah, me too. 100%. My mom, or not my mom, but a quote that I always love is like, people won't remember what you did for them, but they will always remember how they felt around you. Mm. And I try to keep that in my back pocket. Yeah. Like, be conscious of how you're making other people feel when they're in your presence. Because I've been around people where I'm like, that made me feel so weird. Mm-hmm. And you don't forget it.
Yeah.
You don't forget it. But yeah, after our first hangout, I was like, OMG, my friend. My friend. I texted my whole family. I was like, I have a friend.
Oh, I was with my mom when you texted me the first time. I go, Mom, I think I made a new friend. I remember where we were.
They're like, okay, you lesbies.
I go, okay.
Oh, weird. Okay, so this card game, the problem that I'm seeing, both decks, it comes with two decks. I think those two decks are the same. We picked a lot of the same cards. Ooh, what are subjects you avoid talking about and why?
Oh, good Lord.
Is it starting to rain? Is it going to rain on our parade?
No.
Okay.
Just a gust. Just a little gust of wind.
Just
you
a
go
little.
First.
What is something I avoid talking about?
God.
Years 2020 through 2022.
Generally.
I was going to say getting sued, but I really have beat that one to death. I'm a pretty open book, honestly.
I think the better question is, what topics do you not avoid talking about? Because unfortunately, I can't shut up. Oh. Unfortunately, I couldn't keep something to myself if I tried, even really hard. You know what I will say? As I've gotten older, I avoid talking about polarizing topics because I used to be a really outwardly opinionated person. Because I, like I said before, like I could tell you what I think and feel about literally anything. Like I'm not a neutral person. There's nothing neutral about me. And I think when I was younger, I didn't see the problem in that. But as I've gotten older, I'm realizing that like ruffling feathers and having like not even inflammatory conversations, but like sometimes people don't need to know what you think about everything. And because
so
sometimes
true.
That doesn't serve you. Like sometimes that really can be detrimental to, because people are gonna make opinions on you whether you like it or not. And I just feel like sometimes giving people more ammunition is just not worth it.
Concurred. 100% agree. I feel the same way. I like, if you know that somebody feels a certain type of way about something, I'm not going to be the one that's going to go try to fight them on it.
No.
I'm going to let you believe whatever your life path has led you to believe. Mm-hmm. And I believe that everybody has the right to believe whatever it is they want to believe. And it's not my job to try to change your opinion.
Well, because the older you get, the more you realize no one's going to change their opinion.
No one's going to change your opinion.
Is like,
you're just fighting to fight.
You could go to someone and be like, hey, black and white, what you are seeing is not real. And if they want to believe that what they're seeing is real, it doesn't matter. You can go to them with evidence, A, B, C, and D, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes people are going to see what they want to see. And there's nothing more frustrating than like losing yourself in the process of like trying to get someone to understand your point, because it doesn't work.
I don't have a single bone in my body that wants to debate something with someone.
I used to.
Yeah, you're good at it because you come with the facts. I come with like pettiness and I'm like, what?
I feel like I do not talk about things that I don't feel confident in. Like if I'm telling you this is what that is, I promise you that is not coming from like somewhere like I feel this way. I've like extensively researched that thing. Like the chances of me being wrong on that are very slim because I'm not one of those people that talks out of my ass about shit. Like I will stay quiet before I start spreading like information I don't feel confident in.
I spread misinformation like wildfires. First and foremost is that Shania Twain lived in my brother's house.
And that the Love Island host was Adriana Lima.
I will say the wrongest things with such confidence. Someone asked me and my brother, they were like, what are your guys' podcasts about? My brother said, spreading misinformation.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Write that down.
No, you come with the facts. I come with a gut feeling and a hope and a prayer.
And a vibe.
See, I have faith that if I say something outrageously stupid, Brooke will be like, cut.
If it's something I really need to, like, if I'm like, I'm not going to let you do yourself like that, I will. But otherwise, like I think looming gloom is cute, and I don't care what anyone says.
No, you can be looming over someone in your gloom. It works.
The gloom can be looming over you.
Yes.
I don't actually want to know this. How would you describe my face to a blind person?
I would say that you have dazzling green eyes, blonde hair, and gorgeous white pearly teeth.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you have some of the best eyebrows I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You have, hands down, y'all, the prettiest blue eyes on this planet.
Aww.
No, your eyes are insane. You have probably the best lips I've ever seen, too. And
thanks.
I would just say you have a very kind face.
That's sweet.
But I love you. What? Hi, not obvious?
My name is Kind Face over here. Serving kindness on a platter. Name. Get on that lore.
What if Sincere met a girl named Kind? Sorry.
Then they would be triggered? They would be roaming around this villa spreading lies and hatefulness.
Because your name means the opposite of what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
In what ways do you feel you've grown in the last 5 years?
Haven't.
Liar! Liar! That is not true. You've grown a lot in the last 5 years. I feel like we both are like irrecognizable.
I can't pinpoint a specific thing, but what I would say to anyone who is 20 to 22, your emotions from 20 to 23, which people used to tell me and I did not believe them, are so exemplified, and everything feels like the end of the world, and your feelings and thoughts and opinions about everything are so deep and feel so personal and feel so permanent, when the reality is it's not.
Play that back. Rewind that. Play that again. Because, yeah.
It's kind of like once you graduate high school and you realize high school isn't the end of the world. But when you're in high school, you think high school is everything under the sun and more. And then a few years out, you look back and you think, oh, that was not everything and more. That's how I feel about 20 to 25, is I thought that my world was ending constantly and everything felt like a permanent end of life. Every emotion was exemplified times 100. And now at 28, I'm like, you know what? Life's pretty good. Things get better. Things aren't that deep. If you have a problem with someone, you can fix it if you want to. Say you're sorry if you need to. Work things out with people. And life is short. Level your cortisol. And gather around the campfire with your friends. Don't take everything so personally, because it's not always about you. I think that's what I would tell myself 5 years ago, is it's not all about, not everything's about you.
Mm.
Hey, not everything's about you.
That's a good one.
Hey, people have their own lives. And I think when you're so young, it's hard to comprehend that every other person on planet Earth is experiencing stress, anger, heartbreak, rage, and the world, you are not the biggest victim of the world. The world is hard on everybody.
Yeah.
So we need to have grace for people around us, and things will always get better.
I think, too, in that time period, the concept of, like, your intention doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters is the impact that you've had, whether that be on a relationship or a life decision or whatever that may be. I think everyone's first gut instinct when they find themselves in a conflict with a friend or when they're being called out or whatever, I think defensiveness runs deep, especially from like those early ages, like 18 to 25 or before your frontal lobe really kicks in.
And there's this concept of like, well, if I can just help you understand why I did that, or if I can just help you understand my intention behind my actions, that absolves me of any wrongdoing. And I think what is such an important lesson that I learned, that I think that in that time of life is so beneficial, is realizing that although you may not have meant to inflict pain or a wound, you did. And the impact of that wound or pain is what you're responsible for. And although an intention might be a little band-aid, it does not take away the gravity of what your actions may have inflicted on someone. And I think there's a lot of growth in realizing that, like, we're impacting people all the time. Whether we mean to or not. And I think for me, the thing I've probably grown the most over in 5 years is realizing that, like, although my intentions, I would say 99.8% of the time have always been pure. I don't think I've ever, like, gone into any situation trying to hurt people. I think in my youth and up until, like, probably my mid-20s, I wasn't even realizing how I was impacting people around me, whether that was like coming on too strong or being too much or being too passionate about something. And even if your heart's in the right place, sometimes that you can inflict, you can hurt people without even meaning to. And I think that taking ownership of the impact you have on other people and the spaces you enter is so important, because it's probably changed my life in the most monumental way, is like realizing when to like tone it down and like read the room better and not be so like impulsive with like being 100% yourself all the time. I think.
Drops mic. That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Oh, I actually have it. Should we wrap it up with this one?
Yes. Should we find a good one to wrap it up on?
I do really like it out here though. You pick.
I'm so comfortable.
I am so comfy and happy out here. Fine. We'll change it to an outdoor podcast. Fine. I'm going to be an outdoors girl. Final rapid fire question of our new game. Take it away, Blondie.
Okay. We're each going to go. What is one piece of advice you have for me?
For you? Oh.
And we'll switch off.
Oh my gosh. What piece of advice do I have for you? I would say, if I could go back 10 years from now, this is what I would tell myself when I was starting my life on the internet. I would tell you, and I know that it happens whether we like it or not, because it's just human nature, is to not change your personality or dull yourself down based on opinions of people that you don't know that are just leaving comments online. Be yourself, you know? You don't have to tone down just because someone says one thing about you doesn't mean that it's true. And what I have learned too is you could get 1,000 comments that are so nice and so friendly, and for some reason the only one that will stick out is the one that's like, you're annoying, you looked ugly today, you sounded cuckoo bananas when you said that. And it is so easy to like look at one bad thing and think, oh well, now they're all bad. And I would tell you, don't dim your personality or change yourself just because one person happened to say one rude thing.
That's good advice. Any advice you ever give me about anything relating to the internet, I take with like, I literally, there's a note in my phone where I'm like, Morgan said this. Like, Morgan said this. It was really wise.
You know what's funny is I can give the advice, but I also can't take it. So take that with a grain of salt.
That's the point.
I preach, but I do not practice. Thank you very much.
A piece of advice I would give you right now. I would encourage you, in the stage of life that you're in, to not be afraid to take big risks and to take big chances on yourself.
Ooh.
And to shake things up and to not be afraid, because whether you know it or not, the support system that you have around you is bulletproof.
Mm-hmm. That is my biggest blessing in life.
Your family
and not to bring myself into it with me, like there's nothing, there's no position that you can get yourself in that I wouldn't be actively digging you out of. And I know your family is like rides 10 times harder than that. And I think that you are at such a beautiful time in your life to do big, scary things, because there aren't huge anchors tying you to the ground. And now being like, I'm married and I have, you know, two dogs that are high maintenance, and I have these big anchors that are such a blessing. But when I think back to like that era of time that I was in where I didn't have those things, there are things that I already am looking back on, like, oh, I didn't move to that city, or oh, I didn't try and do that before. And I wouldn't change anything in my life. But I think for you, because you are such a homebody and because you have built such a comfortable life, those big changes or those big like risks, they just seem like something like kind of futile. But I will say, I do see that being an opportunity for you to experience some really cool things. And just know that if you take a big, big leap, there's literally, you could not fall if you wanted to, because you have so right. many people lifting you up.
If you jump for the moon, you'll land upon the stars.
And you have a massive trampoline. So jump for that moon, girl.
Oh, that's sweet. I do need to take that advice. Jump before your feet get tied to the ground.
Because that time's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, I'm in this season of, like, trying for kids and waiting for kids. And my mom friends are so sweet, my friends who have kids. And they're like, listen, like, that time will come. And when it comes, it'll change everything. And I'm really trying to listen to that advice now, because
and you're taking the advice and you're running with it, girl.
I'm trying to, like, I'm traveling all the time and I'm doing all these things because I see the look in their eyes when they say it. And it's not a place of like, they love where they are. And I think that you're similar. You love where you are. It's not like a, or I should say, I love where I am. Like, I love being married. I love it. And but I know, like, everything changes and there's going to be a time where, like, those anchors are deep. The roots are deep.
Where you can't just go travel for weeks at a time because you want to, you know? No, I think you're living the best version of your life right now.
Thanks, girl.
Going and experiencing the world. Yeah, I am. I'm in the mood for a big jump. I just don't know what that jump is yet. I'm trying to figure it out.
Just don't be afraid of it. Like, that's, I think, the biggest thing I would say to you is, because you are such a, you're a thinker and you're a plan. Even though you don't think you are a planner.
I'm a thinker.
And so I feel
all
like,
all I do in this little brain is think. I can't stop thinking.
Yeah. I would say don't overthink it. Like, if there's like a poll, like, you keep mentioning New York, you keep mentioning all these places.
I keep saying one time in my life, I'm going to live in New York before I get married. I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
Listen, and you can do that. There's nothing tying you down. And I love to travel.
I know. That's the amazing thing about Brooke. I was telling my brother that Brooke is the most fun person to travel because she's down for anything. If you pitch anything to Brooke, she'll be there.
I will.
I could be like, Brooke, I want to go on a sailing trip in the middle of Antarctica. She'd be like, okay, when's the flight? When are we going?
Like, can I tell you about the polar bears?
I have researched this.
The ice caps are melting. This game was so fun.
That was a good game. Shout out Amazon Prime Day that recommended this to me.
I can't.
That was a deep game.
Your Amazon Prime Day purchase. Mine was Halloween pajamas in July.
And we're going to put those to use.
Tomorrow.
Summerween, baby, is here.
We're summerweening and you don't know where we're going yet, but we're going somewhere fun.
Maybe if you tune in again, we'll tell you where we're going.
Maybe if you're coming later in the month, you'll see where we are.
Threat. We're synced again. We're synced.
Yay!
Well, this was a fun and grand and glorious time. Let us know if you want us to come back outside and touch grass with you again. Summer campfire stories minus the campfire because it's way too damn hot. But it did cool down nicely.
The name of the episode, Touching Grass. Touching Grass. Thanks
I'm
for coming,
I'm severely
guys.
Deficient in vitamin D. My doctor made me do this.
Filling my prescription.
Bye.